This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Monday, January 22nd, I'm Jeff Bonsert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. An employee of an agency under Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich told investigators that hiring for state jobs was done improperly. Christina Griffin was personnel manager at the Department of Children and Family Services. She says in a report obtained by the Associated Press that her boss, Robin Staggers, allowed people to be hired before jobs were even chosen for them. The November 2005 report by the Executive State Inspector General also says Staggers pressured Griffin to hire a particular person and increase the hiring of interns, bypassing employment procedures. Blagojevich acknowledged in October 2005 that Staggers and two other of his top aides were under federal investigation for criminal wrongdoing and hiring. Griffin declined comment, Staggers did not return a call seeking comment, and a Blagojevich spokesman declined comment because he says DCFS has not seen the report. More than two dozen soldiers died in Iraq Saturday, making it one of the deadliest days for the U.S. military since the war there began. President Bush wants to send in more troops, but as Amanda Vinicky reports, Illinois' senior senator is pushing for a congressional resolution that condemns that strategy.
Senator Dick Durbin says that it's time for American troops to leave Iraq. Only then, he says, will Iraqis stand up and fight for themselves.
We need to start bringing American troops home, not precipitously, not immediately, but in a systematic way.
Durbin says Bush's policies have failed. He says increasing deployments will only put more American lives at risk. Durbin says he'll express that by voting for a non-binding resolution, which states that it's not in the best interest of the U.S. to deepen military involvement in Iraq. Other Democrats have proposed cutting funding for new troops to prevent deployment. Durbin says he doesn't support that, as it would put soldiers at risk. But he says he does favor capping the number of troops. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Cervical cancer is the second leading cause of cancer deaths among women in the U.S. A new proposal sponsored by an Urbana lawmaker would inform young girls about a way to prevent the disease. Krista Kukowski reports.
A vaccine can help prevent a virus known as HPV from developing. There are two main types of HPV that can cause cervical cancer. Democratic Representative Naomi Jacobson of Urbana is proposing a measure that will require girls entering the sixth grade to show proof that they understand what the vaccine does and whether or not they received it. Schools will then have to forward to the State Board of Education how many people actually received the vaccine. Jacobson says the vaccine is effective in preventing cervical cancer and word needs to get out.
People would want the women in their lives, the young girls who are going to be women, very soon to have this vaccine.
Opponents of the plan are afraid that while the vaccine may prevent cervical cancer, it won't prevent other sexually transmitted diseases. They also have concerns it will encourage younger teens to have sex. I'm Krista Kukowski.
Indiana's General Assembly this week will begin debating one of Governor Mitch Daniels' top priorities, with a hearing on full-day kindergarten scheduled for Wednesday in the House Education Committee. A bill filed by the panel's chairman, Democratic Representative Greg Porter of Indianapolis, simply states that every elementary school must offer full-day kindergarten starting with the next school year. Other details and a way to pay for the plan could be added to the bill later if it continues to move through the General Assembly. House Speaker Patrick Bowers says Democrats want to do as much as they can to implement full-day kindergarten quickly. Daniels' proposal calls for phasing in full-day kindergarten over 3 years, starting with the state's neediest children next year. The plan would cost about $145 million over the next 2 years. Police in Normal say celebrations over the Chicago Bears' 39-14 victory over the New Orleans Saints were linked to several incidents of vandalism last night near the Illinois State University campus. The damage was minor. A section of chain-link fence was pushed down. Flower pots and garbage cans were overturned and tossed from balconies, and part of a downtown movie theater's marquee was broken by snowballs. A teacher at Danville High School is the state of Illinois' U.S. History Teacher of the Year, according to the Daughters of the American Revolution. Harith Tamimi will receive his award at a ceremony in Bloomington in April. He'll then be entered in a national contest. Tamimi has been teaching for 29 years. He says he has to make a connection with the students in order to help him understand the connection between history and their lives. Tamimi regularly attends the high school's sporting events and other activities. He sponsors a local history club, and he greets students at the door. He says he also emphasizes that his students should be proud to be Americans. Tamimi was born in Baghdad and lived there until he was about 7 years old. Urbana is looking for input on how to better incorporate arts in the community. The city is seeking people from different walks of life to serve on a public arts task force. That 9-member group would meet for 6 months to establish a city arts commission. Public arts coordinator Anna Hochhalter says other cities have had artists in residence that help design downtown city buildings or create art to accompany them. She says this program would go a step further.
We want this program to be more than adding sculptures outside in front of buildings, though that is something we're interested in doing. We want to have it be more expansive than that, to include possibly funding artists to do workshops, incorporating music and sound installations, theater, dance, creative writing.
Hochhalter says there's some city funding available for public arts programs. After 6 months, applications would be accepted for the Public Arts Commission. Members of that group would serve for different terms ranging from a year to 3 years. Those interested in serving on the task force don't have to live in Urbana to serve. Those interested should obtain an application from the Urbana City Building. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Defamation helps to repair damage done to a person's reputation. But what if that reputation isn't all that sparkling to begin with? Commentator Amy Guida explains that a select few may be libel-proof in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
There's a man named Michael J. Devlin on the sex offender registry in Utah. The website lists 2 counts of indecent exposure on his record. Devlin has brownish hair and was born in 1965. There's a man named Michael J. Devlin who's been arrested for taking 2 Missouri boys from their families. Police believe that he held 1 boy for 4 days and the other for 4 years. Devlin has brownish hair and was born in 1965. They are not the same person. Yet if you watched television or read internet stories shortly after police announced that the Missouri boys had been found, you would have learned, incorrectly as it turned out, that the Missouri Devlin was a convicted sex offender in Utah. In other words, somebody somewhere made a mistake, and the mistake spread. Which leads us directly into the issue of defamation, including libel and slander, and the concept known as a libel-proof plaintiff. Defamation is a legal wrong. In simplest terms, if Arnold says something that's incorrect about Betsy, and the incorrect information harms Betsy's reputation, Betsy can sue Arnold for defamation. The Utah Devlin could have a claim here. Setting aside certain issues, like whether the Utah Devlin would be considered a public figure and whether he'd be able to show malice on the part of the reporters, the attorneys on both sides would likely consider the possibility of the libel-proof plaintiff argument. A libel-proof defendant-turned-plaintiff is one with an extremely lousy reputation to begin with. As one court put it, Adolf Hitler and Charles Manson have such poor reputations, there's nothing left to protect. And if there's no reputation, it can't sustain a defamation action. A court found that James Earl Ray couldn't sue for defamation. Ditto for Bob Guccione. When someone questioned his marital fidelity, a court found that he had no related reputation to protect. But just because you're a criminal or a person who doesn't get invited to the best parties doesn't mean that your reputation isn't worth protecting. Courts consider the nature of the criminal record, say, how long it is, and how much publicity the crimes received. If the plaintiff's reputation isn't all that tarnished, a defamation action could proceed. As one court put it, the libel-proof plaintiff doctrine must be applied with caution, because few plaintiffs will have a reputation which is so awful that they are not entitled to obtain redress. And not all jurisdictions recognize the concept of a libel-proof plaintiff anyway. Instead, they might allow the defamation claim to proceed, but decide that the plaintiff should receive only a small amount in damages. So should Utah's Michael J. Devlin sue for defamation based on a smattering of early reports in the Missouri Devlin case? Some court will likely have to decide if two indecent exposure convictions ruin a reputation. I suspect not. And the Missouri Devlin? He'd have a much tougher time arguing that his reputation had been ruined by the initial reports that he was a convicted sex offender. Police claim that he's confessed to certain aspects of the crimes. If so, he could indeed be libel-proof. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. And the forecast for East Central Illinois: expect cloudy skies today, scattered flurries possible, the high 35. Cloudy tonight with scattered flurries, colder, the low around 19. And for tomorrow, cloudy skies, around 35 degrees, southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, January 22nd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Mossert, AM 580 News.